Now it should be fine. Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, you should get the link now. Okay. Thank you so much for stopping me there. Okay. So my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the author of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So in our previous class, there was a question that was asked by two devotees about the time frame of these events, about Gopakumar's journey. And actually the answer is given in chapter 2 of the book, in text number 26. In the purport, we see that it speaks about the possibility that Gopakumar's incident must have occurred in one of the previous kalpas, meaning one of the previous days of Brahma. The exact day of Brahma is not mentioned. The entire incident is supposed to have happened in one of the previous kalpas and not in this specific manvantara of this Chaturyuga. So that was a piece of information that I could find, and I wanted to share it with everyone because there was a lot of confusion about when this journey happened. But at the same time, Parikshit Maharaj related this to his mother Uttara at this time, that is in this manvantara, in the 28th Chaturyuga when Krishna appeared. During that time frame, Parikshit related the story that had happened in one of the previous kalpas. So that is something I wanted to share, and I hope that clarifies the questions that were asked in the previous session. So, in our previous session, we stopped at a point where Gopakumar did his bhajan in Vrindavan, and finally, a Vaikuntha Vimana, a very, very beautiful airplane from Vaikuntha, came, picked him up, and he flew beyond this material universe, and he was stationed at the entrance of Vaikuntha. So, he was waiting there, and all of us were waiting with Gopakumar to enter Vaikuntha. And at that time, what happened, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they told him to wait there, and they said they will go inside and get permission either from their Lord or some designated authority for Gopakumar's entry. So a few of the Vaikuntha Dutas went inside to get permission, while the other Vaikuntha Dutas were staying with Gopakumar, giving him company. So at that time, the Vaikuntha Dutas who were still with Gopakumar, they began talking to him. So we're going to continue from there. So the Vaikuntha Dutas who were still with Gopakumar, they consoled Gopakumar, because Gopakumar at this point, he was so nervous. He was so nervous to enter Vaikuntha. He was so excited. At the same time, he was super nervous. So the Vaikuntha Dutas who were with him, they started consoling him. They pacified him with sweet words. They said, you just stay calm and think about the amazing, amazing wonders that you're not going to see inside Vaikuntha. Just in a few moments, you're going to enter the spiritual abode and you're going to see countless amazing wonders. Your eyes will be completely illuminated with Bhagavad Bhakti. You will learn about the unique glories of Lord Vaikuntha, Vaikunthanath, and you will learn about the worship of the Lord in the mood of awe and veneration. You will experience several benefits of becoming the personal servant of Lord Narayana. So like this, the Vaikuntha Dutas, they were encouraging him. They told him, don't be nervous. It's going to be amazing. Just keep your eyes open and keep looking around. Be ready to enter this wonderful abode. Now Gopakumar, he was narrating his own story to the Brahmin, right? So that is the context. So he told the Brahmin that as I was standing there at the entrance, I was looking around. And suddenly from behind, I saw someone entering that great city. He rode on a transcendental vehicle that was endowed with all opulences that is present in the hundreds of universes. There was music and other entertainment that was there inside the Vimana. And he himself resembled the Supreme Lord in his luster. So I thought he was Sri Hari, and I called out, oh Hari, oh my Lord, please protect me. And I bowed down to him. When I did that, the person who was traveling in that Vimana, he simply covered his ears and he stuck his tongue forward, biting his tongue and waving his hand saying, no, 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 it's not me. I'm not Lord Hari. I'm only the servant of Lord Hari. Please don't call me Lord Hari. So when he said that and he felt so embarrassed, I was so confused. Then after a short while, another person came And he came in a more splendid aeroplane that was so much more beautiful, in a more beautiful Vimana. And he himself was looking so much more lustrous. And when I saw him, I was so convinced that he's actually Lord Narayana. And I bowed out to him and I said, "You must be Lord Narayana. Please protect me." And when I did that, that person also got so embarrassed. He was saying, no, I'm not the Supreme Lord. I'm just the servant of his servant. And he said, "I'm returning from somewhere. Please don't call me Lord Narayan." And he went inside Vaikuntha. So like that, one after the other, so many people were coming. Some were coming in groups. Some were coming in pairs. Some were coming alone. Some were going inside with all their weapons and their vimanas. Some left everything outside and they went separately inside. Like this, I saw so many people entering. Each one was looking so glorious and so many of them looked exactly like the Supreme Lord. So when I saw this, I would bow down to each one of them and they would stop me and they would tell in very affectionate words that they're actually not the Lord and they are only the servant of the servant. So many of them, they were important authorities. They had several responsibilities and they were returning late after completing their duties that the Lord had assigned to them. So some of them carried various items for performing worship and others, they just hurried forward without anything, intoxicated by love and devotion. And all of them, all their minds and senses were completely absorbed in their own service. Some were offering prayers, some were paying obeisances, and some of them were looking so beautiful, I'm just not able to describe. In fact, their limbs, they were looking so beautiful that their body and their limbs were offering beauty to the jewels and the garments that they were wearing. So this is how Gopakumar was talking to the Brahmana. So it is very interesting that Krishna, he is often referred as Bhushana Bhushanangam. That means he gives beauty to the garments and the jewels that he wears. So when we all dress up, when we go and get dressed up in front of the mirror, what do we do? We try to decorate ourselves with the best of the clothes. We wear nice cosmetics and then we comb our hair nicely and we add a lot of jewels and this and that to make us look beautiful if you're going not to an important place. So we believe actually that is the truth, that this garment or this cosmetics or this jewelry is actually adding to my beauty. Actually, I'm not beautiful, but when I put all this on, I look more attractive. I look more beautiful. That is for us. But however, for Krishna, he himself is so beautiful. His form itself is so beautiful that his form and his limbs, they offer beauty to the ornaments that is adorning him. They offer beauty to the garments that he's wearing. So the garments and the ornaments, they get beauty. They borrow some beauty from Krishna's beauty. That's why Krishna is called as Bhushana Bhushanangam. So just like their master, the Supreme Lord, Narayana, just like their master, the Vaikuntha Dutas were entering Vaikuntha from so many places. They were also looking so splendid and they were offering beauty to their limbs and their garments they were offering beauty to their ornaments and their jewelry from their own limbs. Actually, many of you must have had this experience. Sometimes when you see the deities in the temple, you see that Saina Arati is actually one of the most beautiful darshans. That is because in Saina Arati, there is a minimum decorations on the Lord. The Lord's limbs are clearly visible. And at that time, the Lord looks so beautiful. Or even Mangala Arati. He looks so beautiful. There's some unique beauty about it because his limbs are clearly visible. So we can understand that it is not the ornaments that is giving beauty to the Lord. Rather, the Lord himself is so beautiful that he is giving some of his beauty to the ornaments that he is wearing. So like this, the Vaikuntha Dutas were also looking very beautiful in their Sarupya forms. They were all having similar forms like Lord Narayana and they were entering the spiritual world. So these residents who were entering Vaikuntha, they were singing and dancing without any inhibitions. And they were expressing the glories of Lord Narayana. They were singing the praises of Lakshmipati or Shriyapati. And they were entering the spiritual world. Some of them were entering with their families. Some were riding their own vehicles. Some left things behind and some went in, but everybody was in ecstasy. Now, it was interesting that it was not that everybody had similar bodily features, that everybody were looking like four-armed form of Narayana, but there were also some who assumed forms of animals, birds, trees. Some of them just had one form. Some of them changed their forms. They had multiple forms. Some looked like monkeys. Some looked like demigods. Some even looked like demons. Some looked like sages. Some of them bore signs of the members of the Varnashram. Like some had Brahmin thread and they were holding a Kamandalu and they were holding Kusha grass in their hand. Some looked like Indra. Some looked like Chandra. Some looked like some of the demigods. Some had three eyes. Some had four heads. And some had multiple millions and thousands of faces. So like this, it was not that everybody was just four-armed form, but there was so much variety there when Gopakumar was looking around. Now, this may seem quite ugly. Why would someone in Vaikuntha have forms like monkeys or even something like a demon? The reason given is that when you have intense attraction to something, you cannot help thinking that form is actually very, very beautiful. And this is true also in a spiritual level. Like some devotees have intense attraction to personalities like Hanuman. So, you know, when you have... can everyone mute? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now is it better? No? Static is there? Echoing? Okay. Really? Okay, let me come out of the app. If someone is there on the postcode, can you please? Super. Okay, let's then just continue and we'll take it from the YouTube. Okay. So I was talking about the Vaikuntha Dutas, how they were entering Vaikuntha, how some of them, each one of them had a unique form. Many of them had a four-armed form of Narayana, but some of them, they had very, very unique forms. And a question may be raised. We all know that in, before that, I wanted to say that why would someone have forms like a monkey or some funny-looking forms like multiple heads and all that? Or why would someone look like a demon? Why would someone look ugly in Vaikuntha? So the reasoning given there is it so happens that sometimes when one has an attraction to that form, as they see that person again and again, they begin loving that person. Just like on a mundane level, a monkey may not be very attractive to us. But if we have a personal relationship with a monkey or any animal for that matter, think about a dog. Many people have dogs and cats. So when you have a personal relationship with that particular dog or cat, you start liking it. You find it very cute. You find it very beautiful. You think that is the most wonderful thing in the world. So you don't mind seeing that form, or you yourself don't mind having that form. So that is the psychology that is explained. And this is related on a spiritual level as well. Like, for example, the love towards Hanuman is described. Now, Hanuman, he himself doesn't have a gorgeous four-armed form or a two-armed form. Rather, he has a form that is like a monkey. But still, there are so many devotees who are very attracted to Hanuman and they find him really, really attractive and cute, right? Like even in India, there are these Hanuman dolls, Chota Hanuman, Bal Hanuman, like that. So they find them really, really attractive. So that reasoning is given why some of them, they like to retain such forms even in the spiritual world, because they just like that form. So like that, there were so many people, all sorts of people. It was not just people looking in the typical four-armed bluish skin form in Vaikuntha. And now a question may be raised. We thought in Vaikuntha, Sarupya is so easily available to everyone. Then why would these people specifically take so many different forms? The reason is that they take these forms to serve Lord Narayana in different ways. And this part will be later explained in detail by Narada Muni. He will explain this point in more detail in the further coming verses. So everything and everyone in Vaikuntha were completely transcendental, and it is nothing like the material differences that we see in this world, that one is greater than the other. If someone has Sarupya, they are greater than the others having an animal form or a tree form. It is not like that. Everyone in Vaikuntha was perfectly happy, and there was completely equal. They were all completely equal. And it is very, very hard to describe the actual glories of Vaikuntha with material examples. But one can try, one just can try to give some examples to instigate the enthusiasm and practitioners and encourage them. So though there seems to be some external hierarchies in Vaikuntha, you will see that there are externally looking, there could be some hierarchies in Vaikuntha. But the truth is that everybody in Vaikuntha, all the residents, they enjoy equality among themselves. They are simply equal to each other because each one of them can serve the Lord and they can be happy and perfect in their service. However, they do show differences in terms of how they exhibit their natural power and opulence in different ways. But that is all just to please the Lord. It is all in the service of the Lord. So absent, completely absent from them are faults like envy and, you know, all these material qualities that we see in this world. All the Vaikunthavasis, they have innate good qualities, and their qualities, they just shine forth from within. They are never afflicted by problems like jealousy or inability to tolerate the superiority of others. They don't quarrel among themselves, or they don't disrespect anyone like you see in this material world. So their qualities are both Nitya and Satya. So Nitya means eternal, eternally. And how is it? It is always Satya. It is always truthful. It is always wonderful. It is not products of Maya like it is seen in this world. Their qualities are swabhavika, that means completely natural and spontaneous. They are not illusory, because in our world where we are living here, many of our good qualities are not swabhavika. They are not natural, spontaneous good qualities. We try hard to develop qualities. But there in the spiritual world, everybody is completely, spontaneously, naturally happy, good, and they all have a very nice spiritual personality. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when Brahma, he sees the spiritual world in his meditation, the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, they describe how Vaikuntha looked in Brahma's meditation. So we will also join Brahma in the meditation and see with him how Vaikuntha looked to him. We will quote these two verses.
Paravatanyabhritasarasachakravaka Datyuhaham sashukatittiribarhinam ya Kolahalo viramate chiramatramuchair Bringadipe harikatam ivagayamane.
Then the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord. There is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing promptly to hear the glories of the Lord. So we see there is so much variety, so many birds are there in the spiritual world. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, this verse reveals the absolute nature of Vaikuntha. There is no difference between the birds and the human residents. The situation in the spiritual sky is that everything is spiritual and variegated. Spiritual variegatedness means that everything is animate. There is nothing inanimate in the spiritual world. Even the trees, the ground, the plant, the flowers, the birds, the bees, all of them are on the level of Krishna consciousness. The specific feature of Vaikuntha Loka is that there is no question of sense gratification. In the material world, even an ass enjoys a sound vibration. But in the Vaikunthas, such nice birds as peacocks and chakravaka and cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. The principles of devotional service, beginning with hearing chanting, are very prominent in the Vaikuntha world. So So this is what is happening in the Vaikuntha world. Everybody is singing the glories of the Lord. And when someone is singing the glories of the Lord, all these others who are talking and chirping, they all keep quiet so that they can also hear very nicely. In Krishna Leela, actually, it is said that when Krishna used to take the cows to graze in the Vrindavan forest, the cows there, they would, we all hear this, right? They would become stunned when they would hear Krishna's flute. They would become stunned and they would stand erect and they would stop doing what they are doing. You know, generally cows, they keep chewing. They keep chewing their cud, they say. They first eat up everything as much as possible and then they sit down in a place and then they bring about the grass that they have chewed from inside and they, I mean, they have swallowed and they bring it out and they start chewing it in slowly. They take their own time. They sit down in one place and they keep chewing that food. So generally, when you're chewing something, when you're eating something, there is a lot of noise within. Like you can hear your own chewing. You can't hear very clearly what is happening outside because of the noise that is there internally. So the cows, when they hear Krishna's flute, they stop chewing. They just open their mouth and they are looking because they don't want to miss a single second of Krishna's flute, or they don't want to miss a single second of hearing Krishna's voice or someone glorifying Krishna. So they appear stunned because they don't even want that internal sound to disturb them. So like that in the spiritual world, everything is so animated. Everyone is just looking. What are they doing? They're always singing the glories of the Lord. They're always hearing about the glories of the Lord. Even the slightest disturbance, they don't want to, you know, want it to stop them. They are like that. Then the next verse in Bhagavatam, what Brahma saw. Mandara kunda kura botpala champakarna punnaganaga bakulambuja parijata gandachite tulasi kabharani natasya yasmim stapa sumanaso bahumanayanti. Although the flowering plants like the mandara, kunda, kurabaka, utpala, champaka, arana, punnaga, nagakesara, bakula, lily and parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi. For Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulasi leaves. And Prabhupada writes in the purport about the glories of Tulasi plant. How Tulasi is very, very important in devotional service and how even the Kumaras, they were actually transformed by the greatness and the presence of Tulasi leaves. So when we look at the opulence of Vaikuntha, one may superficially think that the people who are there, so much, you know, they're all wearing jewelry and they're looking so gorgeous and they're always enjoying, they're singing and dancing and they always seem to be in some sort of pleasure mode. So one may think superficially that they are all sense enjoyers. But sense enjoyment is strictly confined to the material realm. In reality, in the spiritual world, everyone is focused on the lotus feet of the Lord. They are continuously worshipping the Lord as liberated souls. Their entire life is about the song and dance and enjoyment. But it is solely for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So, again, continuing the meditation of Lord Brahma, let's see what else Brahma saw. Vaimanikai salalanaschira chiratani shashvat gayanti yatra shamalakshapanani bhartu antarjale madhumadavinam gandena kanditadiyo api anilam shipanta. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes accompanied by the wives and their consorts. And eternally, they sing the character and activities of the Lord, which is always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. Yat sankulam hari padanati matra drishtair vaidurya markata hema mayair vimanai yesham brihat
ततस्मितशोभिमुख्य कृष्णात्मनाम् नरजाधदूरुत्सम्याध्यै.
The inhabitants of Vaikuntha travel in their airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold. Although crowded by their consorts who have large hips and beautiful smiling faces, they cannot be stimulated by passion, by their mirth and beautiful charms. So Vaikuntha is a place beyond all transformations and change. It is the most beautiful place and everybody is completely fixed on glorifying the Supreme Lord, and they have fixed their minds on the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, we saw the eternity of Vaikuntha, the beauty of Vaikuntha. But however, though Vaikuntha is a place that is beyond all the transformations that is seen in the material world, the devotees in Vaikuntha, they voluntarily undergo playful transformations so that they can participate in various Lord's pastimes. Although they are all equal, yet they manifest individual variety. They want to give variety to the Lord. Everything is profusely available and present in Vaikuntha. Even the vimanas, they are not just one variety. There are hundreds of varieties of vimanas for the hundreds of varieties of residents in Vaikuntha. All the vimanas, all the trees, the houses, everything there is full of variety. All the perfected living beings who are living in Vaikuntha, they also appear in whatever forms the Lord wants them to appear. And they do all this just to give pleasure to the Lord and the associates who are present along with the Lord. So this is very interesting. It is described sometimes that a place appears, the Vaikuntha itself, it is known to appear like a golden arena that is full of jewels. And sometimes this Vaikuntha, it appears like a chalk white color that is flooded by moonlight. So it is, Sanatan Goswami is describing this Vaikuntha, sometimes it appears like a golden place, sometimes it appears pure white, like as if the entire area is flooded by moonlight. So Vaikuntha can be understood only by one's spiritual intelligence, and it cannot even be understood by one's limited mind. So if we try to, and we are trying to describe Vaikuntha in so many ways, but can really Vaikuntha be understood? No, it cannot. We're trying very hard with limited words. It cannot be understood so easily. You know, we are using these material examples to say, oh, Vaikuntha is so beautiful. It looks like golden. It looks like as if it's a place filled with moonlight. So much variety is seen. It looks like this flower, that flower. We are giving limited examples to describe something that is spiritual. Vaikuntha cannot be just understood by one's words or one's limited mind. When the Karunya Shakti of the Lord descends on a purified devotee, that is when he really perceives Vaikuntha. Actually, all this description that we are giving by limited words is just to catch a glimpse of what it can be like. But actually, a true insight into Vaikuntha can be obtained only by the Lord's mercy. That is one way of obtaining it. And the other way is by actually going to Vaikuntha and seeing Vaikuntha for ourselves. So it can be understood only in two ways. And when we actually go and see Vaikuntha, or when we perceive Vaikuntha, when the Lord's Karunya Shakti descends on us, we can understand how hopeless impersonal liberation is, or how horrible this material world is. There is nothing here, and there is nothing at all in that abode of impersonal liberation. Those who are self-satisfied, who have fulfilled all their material desires, who are free from material concerns, who have renounced everything, and they who possess the power to discern between what is needed and what is not needed, what is essential, what is not essential, only they, first of all, enter into the path of pure devotional service, and only they can attain Vaikuntha. So these are some prerequisites. In the path of bhakti. And when one takes to pure devotional service, at that time when their mind is purified, the Karunya Shakti descends on them and they can perceive the real Vaikuntha. So in this context, I was also reminded of how Mahavaraha Prabhu, he was talking in Atlanta about His Holiness Japatak Swami Maharaj, how actually Maharaj had the vision, many of you already know, of course. Japatak Maharaj had the vision of a golden place, right? he describes it that the hospital transformed into something that was so beautiful, so gorgeous. It was so golden. And he could see all his godbrothers calling him, come and join us. So how could he see that? He could see that when the Karunya Shakti descends. So it is possible by the mercy of the Lord, when the Karunya Shakti descends on a pure devotee, the entire spiritual world becomes visible to him. So as Gopakumar, coming back to Gopakumar's story, as Gopakumar watched these persons come and go, he thought, if the servants of the Lord are so glorious and they are so beautiful, then how wonderful should Lord Narayana be? So Gopakumar was getting so restless at the entrance. He just wanted to go in. He was waiting. He was waiting to get permitted to enter. So he sat down, he stood up. He stood up, he sat down. This went on and on. He was so restless. He was walking up and down. And he so badly wanted to enter this place and see everything for himself. Then the attendants who had gone to get permission, they came rushing back to Gopakumar. And they, because the Lord Narayan had heard the news that Gopakumar had come, and Lord Narayan didn't want Gopakumar to wait at the entrance any longer. So these attendants, they came running very quickly and they told Gopakumar, come, let's go. They held his hand and Gopakumar was escorted inside Vaikuntha. Now, as Gopakumar entered the actual realm of Vaikuntha, he saw so many more wonders. He could hardly describe all of it to his student, the Brahmana devotee whom he was describing all this to. Gopakumar went through 7 more gates, one after the other. And there were so many doorkeepers who allowed him to enter each gate only after announcing Gopakumar's arrival to their immediate superiors. So as he entered each gate, he saw the guards were offering obeisances to their local superintendent. And so Gopakumar assumed that this superintendent who was standing there in that gate, who was overseeing the matters of each area, was actually the Supreme Lord. So when he saw that someone was overseeing what was happening there, he thought, this must be my Lord of the universe. This must be Jagadisha. So overwhelmed, just as before, he repeatedly offered obeisances to that person and he was offering prayers thinking that he is Narayana. But then again, the superintendent of that area, he said, no, I am not Narayana. I'm just the servant of a servant. Please move ahead. You can go inside. Please go inside. And Narayana is much in. You have to go much more inside to go and see Lord Narayan. So Gopakumar got more and more eager to see the Lord. Then finally, the Supreme Lord's compassionate attendants who were accompanying Gopakumar, they told Gopakumar how to identify the Lord, because Gopakumar was so confused. Every other person he was seeing, he was thinking this is Narayana, and he was getting so excited. So these attendants, they had to calm down Gopakumar and teach him how to identify the Supreme Lord. What are the signs by which one can recognize the Supreme Lord? And not only did they tell him about the special signs of the Lord, they also told Gopakumar about what prayers he should recite and what etiquette he must observe when he sees the Lord. So they told him, there are many devotees of the Lord who have attained Sarupya Mukti and they all look like the Lord. But however, the Supreme Lord can be distinguished by certain special marks. What are those marks? The marks like the Srivatsa on the chest and the Kaustubha jewel that he wears. They also told him that he should first bow down to the Lord. He should stand in a distance with his palms joined. And he should take darshan from the Lord's lotus feet to the top of his crown. And he should refrain from moving or displaying any ecstatic transformations in front of the Lord. So he should be reverential. He should worship the Lord with awe and reverence. And he should not lose composure in front of the Lord. And he should pay his obeisances, offer beautiful prayers, take darshan from the lotus feet of the Lord up to the crown. So these attendants, they told him all these details, how to look at the Lord, how to pray to the Lord, how to behave in front of the Lord, and how to identify the Lord. So then Gopakumar, he passed through all these several small districts. There were 7 doors, right? So each one was a district by itself. So Gopakumar was slowly passing through these different districts, and all these different districts, they had so many beautiful houses and gates, and everything was looking so beautiful. But then when he entered the central transcendental neighborhood where Lord Narayana was seated, when he entered the palace of Lord Narayana, he saw that the beauty and the excellence seemed to reach the maximum limit. It was radiant. It was radiant like millions of suns and moons, and it completely captured Gopakumar's heart. So within the most glorious palace of Lord Narayana, he saw before him at a distance the supreme person, the supreme Lord, Lord Narayana, the Lord of Vaikuntha. This Lord Narayana was sitting in leisure. He was sitting on the best of the thrones, a golden throne that was shimmering with valuable jewels. The cushion on the throne that he sat, it was made of very soft cotton, and it was swan white in color. It was spotless. It was spotlessly clean, and it was very, very soft. This throne had a handsome bolster on which the Lord rested his left elbow and his upper arm. And this bolster was looking so beautiful. It was looking like the moon that was completely cleansed of all its spots. So when we see the moon in the sky, we see that the moon is spotted because of the craters that is there on the moon. But this cushion and this bolster of the Lord was very, very white like the moon, but it looked like a moon without any spots. And there on top of this throne, he could see the presiding Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayana, in his blossoming youth. His youthful beauty is in fact the most attractive opulence of the Lord. We all know that the Lord has six opulences. Which is the most important opulence? If someone asks, you should say it is beauty. Beauty of the Lord is the most important of his six opulences. So the most beautiful Lord, who's always youthful, who's always ever youthful, that Lord was sitting on this gorgeous throne. Gopakumar, he saw the Lord from a distance in the hallway, and this was the first glimpse of the Lord he had. The effulgence of his limbs was so sweet and attractive, it just defeated the splendor of newly formed rain clouds. And that effulgence from his body, it added grace to the Vaijayanti garland that he was wearing. It added grace to the cosmetics, the sandalwood pulp that he had applied on his cheeks. It added grace to the yellow garments and the jewelry that he was wearing from his arms to his chest, to his feet. Everything looked so splendid. Just his limbs were adding beauty to everything that he was wearing. So the Lord's arms were looking so beautiful. It was looking like a serpent, blue serpent, and it was enhanced by the beauty of the bangles and the armlets that he was wearing. His yellow garments, they were like rays of the sun. His charming earrings, they were just perfectly set off his rounded, nice cheeks. He was looking so beautiful. On his broad chest, there was the Kaustubha jewel that was hanging. His conch-like neck was decorated with a glorious pearl necklace, and his moon-like face and the nectarian smile that was adorning his moon-like face was looking so beautiful, and he was casting playful glances at everyone who was there in that arena. So like this was the vision that Gopakumar was having of this most beautiful Lord Narayana, the youthful Lord. Now, there are some beautiful verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that describe about these unique ornaments of the Lord, how the Lord looks and what he wears. So to elaborate on what Sanatan Goswami has written, I also wanted to quote some interesting verses from the Bhagavatam for us to understand about all these jewelry that the Lord wears and about all these minute details that one must look out when they take darshan of the Lord. So let's catch some verses from the Bhagavatam. These are very, very meditative. So please hear and relish them. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, verse number 17. it says, one should meditate upon the pearl necklace on the Lord's neck. The pearl necklace is very important. We see in the Damodar Leela also, there is a beautiful verse that says, in fear, his pearl necklace shook. As right? There is a verse like that. So the pearl necklace that the Lord wears is very important. And what does this pearl necklace represent? Bhagavatam says, one should meditate upon the pearl necklace on the Lord's neck, which is considered to represent the pure living entities who are always engaged in his service. The Supreme Lord keeps on his neck those living entities who are very, very pure, as one protects the jewels and pearls on the bosom and neck of one's body. These living entities are the living entities who are in pure Krishna consciousness. So the living entities, eternal associates who are completely purified, who are in pure Krishna consciousness, they are symbolized by these pearls on the neck that he wears. Then Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 11, verse number 10. Upon his chest, the almighty unborn personality of Godhead bears the Kaustubha gem, which represents the pure spirit soul. The spirit soul, the Jiva Tattva, is represented by the Kaustubha jewel. Along with his bosom is also marked with the Srivatsa mark, that is the direct manifestation of the gem's expansive effulgence. It also represents the presence of the goddess of fortune, who is always sitting on his chest. Bhagavatam 12, chapter 11, verse 11. His flower garland, Vaijayanti Mala, it is the material energy comprising of various combinations of the moods of nature. Okay, that is actually the Vaijayanti garland that the Lord wears. The yellow garment that he wears, his dhoti, it is actually the Vedic meters, the chandas. We know the different chandas, Gayatri, all these chandas. Like that, the different Vedic meters are represented by the yellow garments that the Lord is wearing. The sacred thread that the Lord wears is the syllable Om, composed of A, U, M, Om. In the form of his two shark-shaped earrings, Krishna or Narayana, when we meditate on the form of the Lord, you see specifically he wears shark-shaped earrings. Okay, that is very much one of the Lord's favorite. So he wears shark-shaped earrings. So the form of the two shark-shaped earrings the Lord carries, in that he carries the processes of Sankhya and Yoga. There is Shad Darshan, right? So two of the Shad Darshan, you will find Sankhya and Yoga as one of the two of the six of the Shad Darshan. So there is Sankhya and Yoga, which represents the two shark-shaped earrings on his ears. His crown that bestows fearlessness to all the inhabitants of the world is actually the supreme position of Brahmaloka. So Brahmaloka itself is represented by the crown of the Lord. Ananta, who is the Lord's sitting place, is the unmanifest phase of the material nature. And the Lord's lotus throne that we were describing all this while, that itself is the representation of the mode of goodness, which is endowed with dharma and jnana, religion and knowledge. So this is all from 12th canto. Now in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila, he describes the complete meditation on the Lord to his mother Devahuti, how one should actually meditate on the Lord and what each part of the Lord's body represents. And it is also beautifully described from Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 38, verses 11 to 33, especially towards the end. Especially towards the end of the chapter, you will see a lot of description. You will also find a lot of description in the 12th Canto, Chapter 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chapters that you must read to understand the description of the Lord is Canto 3, Chapter 38, and Canto 12, Chapter 11. So a lot of meditation on the Lord's form and what each one of it represents is explained. And in this Canto 3, Chapter 38, especially verses 32 and 33, they describe the smile and the laughter of the Lord. That is very beautiful. It is said that one must meditate on the smile and the laughter of the Lord. And when one meditates on the smile and the laughter of the Lord, At that time, one will not desire anything else. All the material things that one has in his heart will be completely chopped off. Everything will be gone. So it is very important to look at the smile and the laughter of the Lord. And Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he writes about the face and the smile of the Lord. He says, the moon is as known, the moon is very, very famous as the source of the heavenly Soma nectar and the rare sacrificial offering that is enjoyed only by a few demigods like Indra. Narayana's face is another moon that is full of nectar. The gestures of his lotus hands and eyes are just beyond compare. So he compares the face to a very, very beautiful cooling moon that is full of nectar. So Gopakumar, he was having this beautiful, beautiful vision of the Lord. He saw how, with great compassion, the Lord was interacting with all the devotees who were present. He actually moved his eyebrows, and his eyebrows were dancing as he was showing compassion to all these devotees who were present in front of him. Rama Devi, who was his very loving consort, Lakshmi Devi, she offered him paan to chew, and she was standing by his side. So he lovingly accepted this paan. He folded it with his forefinger and thumb, and he gracefully put it inside his mouth, and he was chewing the paan. And the color of the paan was actually enhancing the color of the lips, bimba-colored lips of the Lord. We all know that the Lord's lips look like bimba fruit. It's already very reddish. And when he was chewing this paan that was offered to him by Rama Devi, his lips became even more reddish. And the color of the lips was reflecting on his teeth that was there within. And all these teeth that the Lord was having were looking like two rows of spotless kunda flowers. Kunda flowers are round jasmine-like flowers. So his teeth were looking so perfect, two rows of spotless kunda flowers. The paan that he was chewing was reflecting on his beautiful teeth. And that beauty of the Lord, that smile of the Lord, it simply stole the heart of all the devotees. The goddess of fortune and the Lord, both of them, they were looking so beautiful together. They were the perfect match. In fact, the goddess of the goddess of fortune is actually the perfect match for the Lord, because she is the best of all women. She equals him in his beauty and all other qualities that you can ever think of. Lord Narayana is the best of all males, and Lakshmi Devi is the best of all females. Nobody can compare that match. Such a perfect match they were. And again in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, verse 52, we see how Rukmini Devi and Lord Krishna were actually just made for each other. So when Rukmini Devi came to participate in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, she's also none other than the goddess of fortune. We see how Rukmini and Krishna were a perfect match. This is described in the Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 52, text 23 and 24, the match between Krishna and Rukmini is described, how they were a perfect match for each other. So text 23 says, hearing of the beauty, prowess, transcendental character and opulence of Mukunda from visitors to the palace who sang his praises, Rukmini decided that he would be the perfect husband for her. The word sadrisham indicates that Rukmini and Sri Krishna had similar qualities, and thus they were naturally attracted to each other. Text 24. Lord Krishna knew that Rukmini possessed intelligence, auspicious bodily marks, magnanimity, beauty, proper behavior, and all other good qualities. Concluding that she would be an ideal wife for him, he made up his mind to marry her. Just as Lord Krishna is described as Sadrisham Patim, an ideal husband for Rukmini, being just like her, Rukmini is described as Sadrisham Bharyam, an ideal wife for Krishna, being just like him. They were made for each other. That was very natural, since Srimati Rukmini is the internal potency of Lord Sri Krishna. So we see the perfect match sitting there on the throne. They were looking so beautiful together. So as Lord Narayana was chewing this paan and he was glancing at all the devotees present there, goddess Dharini, who's also known as Bhumi Devi, she held her hand with a vessel to catch the remnants of the betel nut of the Lord. And while she was doing that, she was casting her sidelong glance towards the Lord, and the Lord was looking at her with a lot of love, and both of them were talking to each other with their eyes. Then the Lord's associate Sudarshana, the Chakra, in his personified form, he was wearing a crown that revealed his identity, marked with the symbol of Chakra. So he went forward and he served the Lord very, very beautifully. So it is explained that many of the Lord's associates, they had attained Sarupya. So what is the way to identify each one of them? The way to identify each one of them is to see their crown. Okay, so all of them are in personified forms. Shankha is in his personified form. Chakra is in his personified form. Like that, each one of them have their personified forms. And all of them appear to be in four-armed forms. So how do you distinguish one from the other? You have to look at their crown. Their crown has the symbol of their identity. So on the crown of Sudarshana, you will see a chakra symbol. So you understand this is Sudarshana, like that. That's how you identify in the spiritual world. So Sudarshana was present there and he went forward and he was serving Lord Narayana and Rama Devi very, very nicely. And not only was Sudarshana present there, so many servants of the Lord were present there. They were all around him and they were all serving him so beautifully with transcendental items like fans and other paraphernalia. Sesha was there, Garuda was there, Vishwaksena, he was also present. Everybody was serving the Lord. And the great doorkeepers were also present. Who were they? Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya Vijaya, Bala Prabala, Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Jayanta, Shrutadeva, Pushpadanta, Shashwata. All the doorkeepers were also there. They all stood in front of him with devotion and with their folded palms. They went forward and offered beautiful prayers in poetic language and they worshipped the Lord who was sitting on his golden throne. Again, Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 11, Verse 20. I will read that. It is very beautiful. It describes these attendants and the glories of the Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune, Sri, who never leaves the Lord's side, appears with him in this world and she is the representation of his internal potency. Vishwaksena, the chief among his personal associates, is known to be the personification of the Pancharatras and other tantras. And the Lord's eight doorkeepers, headed by Nanda, are his mystic perfections beginning with Anima. So each one of them, they represent a particular Shakti of the Lord, all these close associates. All of them were present there and they were worshipping the Lord. And who else was present? Narada was present. Narada was dancing in his and with his expert singing and his expert veena playing. He was creating such a clever entertainment and he was entertaining the Lord and his two consorts, Rama and Bhumi. And Rama and Bhumi Devi, they were laughing and they were enjoying this beautiful, beautiful composition and this dance by Narada. So to add to the special ecstasy of Narada's performance, the Lord himself, he extended himself or he put forward his leg, put forward his lotus feet, which is the shelter of all the devotees. So when he extended his lotus feet, there was a burst in ecstasy. Everybody was so happy because they could all reach out to the lotus feet of the Lord. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this ecstasy is explained. When Brahma saw the Lord in his meditation at that time, the Lord raised his lotus feet and Brahma was so, so happy about it. It says, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Verse 26. The Lord showed his lotus feet by raising them. The lotus feet are the source of all awards that is achieved by devotional service that is free from contamination. Such awards are for those who worship him in pure devotion. The splendor of the transcendental rays from his moon-like toes and fingernails appeared like petals of a flower. Brahma was so enthralled by this. So like this, all the devotees who were present there, they were all so happy in the Lord's presence. They were serving him. Narada was jumping and dancing and he was entertaining everyone. And the Lord extended his lotus feet and everybody there, they just bursted in ecstasy. They were so happy to be seeing this most glorious lotus feet. Gopakumar was watching all this. He was watching all the splendorous things. He was so captivated by the beauty of the Lord and his associates. And in their company, he completely forgot everything. He just forgot all the instructions that the attendants had given him about treating the Lord with awe and reverence. This Gopakumar, he was so used to chanting the Gopal mantra and spontaneity. What he did was, when he saw all this, very impulsively, he expressed his love in an unusual way that is there in Vaikuntha. Gopakumar saw this. He was so overcome. He was so overcome with ecstasy. He stretched out his arms and he called out, "Gopal, Gopal!" And he went running. He went running to catch hold of Lord Narayana, who was looking so captivating. This was completely unusual for the etiquette in Vaikuntha. So we will stop here and we will see what happened after that. What happened? What did everyone say to his behavior? What was the reaction of everyone? That we will wait and we will see in our next session. Okay, what did the attendants do when Gopakumar just behaved like that? So I also wanted to again restate this. At the beginning of the class I mentioned, and I'm retelling it now because many of you joined late. So I just wanted to say, in our previous session, there was a question that was asked about the time frame of the event, and the answer is given in chapter 2 of text 26 that speaks about the fact that this Gopakumar incident must have occurred in one of the previous kalpas, meaning one of the previous days of Brahma and not in the specific Manvantara and Chaturyuga. But later it was heard and retold by Parikshit as one of the past events to his mother Uttara. So I'll stop here and sorry for going over time, and I'm extremely sorry for all the technical glitches and my whatever mistakes I did while speaking. I couldn't do a good job, but please forgive me. And if you have any questions, comments, realization, please go ahead. We had a... What happened? Oh, Q&A session has started. I can unmute everyone. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Please, if you have any realizations, comments, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
There's lots of attendance. There is no mistake in that. Nothing that is proper will happen.
Thank you so much, Kaurav, for your encouragement and kind words. Hare Krishna.
Such an attendant class, Mataji, we are not qualified for any, but because of you,
the recording has started.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Sorry, I just got back on the phone because of the YouTube issue. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful description of Vaikuntha, and especially the beauty of the Lord that you described, quoting the word description of Paul. So, 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 so just a quick question, my dear sister. So, Gop Kumara from Goddess of Fortune, who is in Hindi, and then the two other two eternal concepts of Lord Narayana, right?
I say that again, Mataji, I couldn't hear you.
I said, Gop Kumara for Goddess of Fortune as the Hindi, and
Yes, there are actually, we will see more. As of now, we have seen two. There is also Neela Devi, and then there are other concerts as well. That, like, you know, there are eight, total number is eight. But the primary two is, first it is Sri, then it is Bhu, and the third is Neela. So, Sri Devi, Bhu Devi, Neela Devi.
So,
the eight principles that Krishna married, they are different to what Narayana had, like Satyabhama, Jagavati. No, they are the, these eight are the expansions of the original eight. Of Rukmini, Satyabhama.
So the original eight have not been by two.
They are there. They are the expansions of the ones in this in Dvaraka, right? Spiritual world. Yeah. They are there. Eight are there,
actually.
So this is just the Vaikuntha
description, and then comes the Dvaraka.
Yes. This is only Vaikuntha.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, and when I was quoting Rukmini and Krishna, I just wanted to talk about the perfect match. So that's the reason I quoted, because she is the goddess of fortune, right? So that's why.
Thank you
so much, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Kanwar Pranam. Thank you so much for another beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji, especially describing the Lord and all His opulence. Mataji, I had a quick question on why beauty is considered the most important opulence.
Because that is the greatest weapon of the Lord. It is the most attractive feature of the Lord. The Lord is stunningly beautiful, and He can attract everyone by the beauty. The other opulences are good, but beauty is the one that captivates the devotee's heart. And this is further explained in Jaiva Dharma. I can give you more details on this, why it is beauty. But I cannot say verbatim, so I will just send you an article on it. Okay?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and that's a good question, because in Jaiva Dharma, it is discussed among the six opulences why beauty is considered the most important. Beauty itself is the most attractive weapon. That's why even when we say the verse of Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopanga Astra Parsadam, right? So when we say what is the astra that Krishna, Lord Chaitanya brings, is because the astra itself is His beauty. By His beauty, He can just captivate anybody, and everybody becomes a devotee. When we see the Lord's beauty. The rest of the opulences, they are good, but they are not as effective as the beauty of the Lord.
Okay. Yes, so we cannot experience them right away with our limited senses, that's why?
Yes, that is one way of understanding it. Like, for example, when you go in front of the deity, you're captivated by the beauty of the deity, right? You're not captivated by the strength of the deity or the wealth of the deity, all that. That is all there. It is good. It is great opulence. But His beauty is something very, very special. Or His intelligence. All this is secondary, actually. The rest of the opulences. Hmm?
Yes, Mataji.
Even when you meditate, you're meditating on the beauty. You're not meditating on the Lord's intelligence or the Lord's wealth part of the opulence, or His strength, no, or His renunciation. We don't meditate on all that. We meditate on the beauty. So that's how it works. But I'll also send you the details. Okay.
My question is not related to this class. Yesterday also I talked with Kala Sudha Mataji, but she is busy to cook prasadam for Ajay Radhanath Maharaj, Jaipatana Maharaj. Mataji, my patient Lakshmima has a paralysis left hand and left leg is not working. So nice, so sincere Vaishnavi. There is a Tulsi Mala in her leg. Mataji, every time I mark, every year 3 months I will work for her, my sister went India. So Mataji, every 10 days she has some attack that she said that something she is seeing. Oh, it's hurting. And I start nursing prayer, japa, and nursing a kavach. And she started from yesterday Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Mataji, what is it? Is it negative energy? Why I cannot see that?
Why she is having that spasms?
She has a medical report says that she has some headache. She said with first finger, this is hurting me. And she started crying. Whole day, like a small kid will give a hard time when the teeth is coming. So that I talked with Kalasudha Mataji, but she is so busy in her Jaipatana Maharaj cooking. So she said, yes, there is some negative energy. But why I am not feeling that negative energy? And when I start Hare Krishna Mahamantra, nursing a prayer and nursing a cover, she becomes so calm, so sincere, never give hard time. Every time, every 10 days, I mark that Amavas days, after Ekadasi, she give a little more hard time.
Yeah, negative energy may not affect everybody, Mataji. That is, it affects only the weaker people. So good, that is the good thing that you're doing. You are putting Narasimha Kavach and you're doing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There's nothing better than that. That's the best thing you can do for her. That is true.
I also cry that what is going on my patient because she cannot speak. She has a stroke. So I also become so disturbed that how can I treat my patient?
You're doing the right thing, Mataji. Just continue to do that. And I can suggest a few other things, maybe offline, because I don't know the exact condition that you're talking about. Yeah. And there are some things that they generally do besides this. So we can discuss that depending on the condition or what exactly she's going through. Okay. There are some remedies for these. We will discuss that privately.
Okay. Yes, miss. Sorry for bothering you. One more suggestion.
No problem.
That one speaker is given a class. Other Vaishnava, only one can correct. Because what happened? The speaker becomes confused. I have seen Rakesh Prabhuji is playing Mrudanga and 2-3 senior people is trying to correct them by the task. And Rakesh Prabhu becomes so confused because they are new learner of Mrudanga. So my humble request, we do very small Vaishnavi, but when speaker is effective speaker, so only one Vaishnavi will talk. Rangat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anyone else has any comments, questions, or realizations, corrections?
And thank you for explaining about Lord's duty and ultimate and working with the first chance to one person. Are there chances of the 12th, right?
Yes, 12th canto and 3rd canto. And actually even the universal form of the Lord, I don't remember the chapter number. There also, there are some beautiful verses, but I didn't want to just keep quoting and extending the class. So I just chose a few verses there. Yeah.
And in the beginning, you have sang Mataji. That one also
was so sweet voice. Oh, those are 3rd canto verses, Mataji. 3rd canto, Brahma's vision.
Thank you for this time. How to identify the Lord. Like now that, you know, the self-control and all is very
important. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji. Beautiful. Thank you, Mataji. Anyone else wants to add or correct anything? I don't see the live chat feed. Maybe it's my mistake. So if someone is trying to say something, I won't be able to see it.
Mataji, because you put it as a kid's video.
I put it as a kid's video, okay. I've done something in a hurry today. I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay. So if there are no more questions, comments, or realizations, or additions, or corrections, we can end the call. I hope everyone is unmuted.
Muted.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, then we can end the call. Thank you all so much for joining. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Vancha kalpataruvesha kripa sindhubhyo patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnav vrindaki jay shri prabhupad ki jay shri brihat bhagavatamrita ki jay shri sanatan goswami ki jay. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Goodbye.